pray.
Oh, Father, we so thank you. Yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Hallelujah.
And we will rejoice and be thankful for all things, Lord.
Yes.
Yes, Lord, that you just bless this class, Lord, that you glorify yourself, that you give everyone that has something to share that you have for them to give. Father, may it be anointed, Lord, and may we all take it to heart. And Father, we just ask you to bless Rich, and we just commit all things into your hands. So we ask it.
Well, I had an interesting thing
this morning. I lost about a page of notes.
Oh.
It's in the black hole somewhere. So, that's right. I told Julie, I said, I'll be trusted in the Lord.
Yeah, yes. Amen.
Man, it just took off, and you know, you sit there, it's not going to work.
We just have to speak up with
them. All right.
Just not enough.
Here, this I'll do this closer to you.
Just everybody speak up. Okay, everybody speak up. All right, so we're in Psalms 72, and we got down to, we kind of finished up Psalms 72:5. Does anybody have anything they would want to bring out of anything 1 through 5? We talked a lot last week about the fear of the Lord.
Talked about that.
It's a good topic. It's a good topic. Yes, it is. So, okay, would someone like to read, let's see, let's say 72, 1 through 8, just to kind of bring it back around here. I know Brenda wants to. I can just see it in her eyes.
I'll read it.
You have amplified, right?
Yes.
Okay. Real loud.
Give the king knowledge of your way of judging, O God, and the spirit of your righteousness to the king's son to control all his actions. And let him judge and govern your people with righteousness and your poor and afflicted ones with judgment and justice. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the hills through the general establishment of righteousness. And may he judge and defend the poor of the people, deliver the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor, so that they may revere and fear you while the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. And may he, Solomon, as a type of King David's greater son, be like rain that comes down upon the mown grass and like showers that water the earth. And in his, Christ's, days shall the uncompromisingly righteous flourish and peace abound till there is a moon no longer. And he, Christ, shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river Euphrates to the ends of the earth.
Okay. That's a mouthful.
Yes, it is.
All right, so we got down to verse 6 then, if no one has anything that they want to bring out of the top three verses, or five verses, and that is, he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Okay, before I start there, we just want to keep in mind here that this is a messianic psalm. Okay, it talked about, it's interesting in Solomon, because none of those, I have four versions here and none of them mention Solomon, but that's in the natural what this psalm, who this psalm was about, you know, when it talks about the, you know, your righteousness as the king's son and give the king your judgments. Solomon was a king and was the son of a king. But needless to say, as we read it, we're thinking nothing but Jesus. It's all about Jesus. The whole book's all about Jesus. The whole Bible's all about Jesus and how we grow spiritually in him and him in us. And of course, Solomon is peace, and it's a type and shadow of the peace that we receive through Jesus Christ. So, just to kind of set that up. All right, back to Psalm 72:6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Well, you can tell this is a simile, which is a type of metaphor. Anytime you use the word like, you're probably going to get a simile out of it. Like, my love is like a red, red rose. a simile is a metaphor, but not all metaphors are similes. A metaphor is a rhetorical device that transfers the sense or aspects of one word to another. I'm so hungry I could eat a horse. I'm not going to say this one because I don't know why someone would use this metaphor, but big as a house. I guess you could say that something's as big as a house. I don't know. Hard as nails, good as gold. Those are metaphors. So as a simile, it's a comparison, is made with the use of the word like. So here we are. He shall come down like rain upon a mowed grass. Well, he's not coming down as rain. He's coming down like rain. Okay? It just blew my mind when I saw the word mowed grass, because I'm thinking, wait a minute. So I had to Google, when was the first mower, invented, and it was 1830. So, I mean, that's we're talking about the Psalms were written 1060 B.C. to 44 B.C. So that's a long, long way off of 1830. So I'm assuming cows and other animals were the very first mowers. But something mowed grass back then, or they wouldn't have had it in.
Is that what your translation says?
What's that? Mowed grass?
He shall come down like the
grass. Yeah. He shall come down like rain upon the grass, but in the
King James.
In the King James it says mowed grass. Ooh, okay, I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
he doesn't cut it off. He lets it continue to grow.
But that shoots my theory.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But no, there's always two sides to every story. I mean, I'll tell you mine, and then you kind of read into that, and let's hear yours, because I know they're both right, But anyway, the New King James says, may the king's rule be refreshing like spring rain on freshly cut grass. So, my whole theory on that is the idea of cutting something off. Like cutting something off, like the Lord is talking about us and how, he uses that double-edged sword. One brings death, and one side brings death, and one side brings life with the double-edged sword. And the one part that brings death is death to the stuff that needs to die, And so you cut that off, and it's interesting how some people will bag up their clippings because they want to take it away from the grass so it doesn't sit on the grass and maybe kill it. I know there's ways now you can mulch it and it's really good for the grass, but we're not talking about that. Doesn't fit what I'm talking about here. So the taking that grass away, what do? You either throw it away or you burn it. Well, that's, God is a consuming fire. So he wants to burn all that. Clip all that stuff that got hit and clipped off with that double-edged sword to kill it, to get it out, I just kind of saw that, and it's like the idea of in the Bible it says, two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will remain. I think it fits that same thing. I want to remain. I know 99% of the church wants to be taken. Yeah. I want to remain and let let like the grass clippings be taken. Take that out and throw it on the fire, you know, because and you know, I've heard someone say, well, there's also a reference to two men in the bed. One will be taken and one will remain. And he said, well, you got more problems than leaving and staying by having two men in the bed. Anyway, okay, sorry, I digress. So anyway, you know, and I loved what Jim said. I want you to read that again, Jim, but that was kind of how I took it. When I read that, I thought, you know, if it's mown grass, if it's freshly cut grass, then that goes away. So what, read yours again, please.
He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing.
Okay.
Mowing.
Before mowing. Mm-hmm. I still like that word, mowing. Mm.
The word mowings and the word mown, both come from 1488. Same root, mm-hmm. And that comes from the primitive of 1488 is a fleece,
mm-hmm.
Also known grass, but it comes from the primitive word, primitive root, to cut off,
mm-hmm.
Specifically to shear a flock, to shave the mm-hmm. hair, to destroy an enemy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, There's another way of looking at this too, and I cut the grass here all the time.
I was thinking the same thing.
You know, I cut the grass here all the time, and you know, after you cut the grass, what you usually would like to happen after that happens, mm-hmm. is for there to be a nice rain, because what that does is it rejuvenates the grass, gets it greener again, and gets it start growing again. Mm-hmm. You know, which means you got to cut it again. But when you even if he's using that in the context of that, it's like the rain coming down upon the mown grass after it's been mown. That's to bring new life. That's to cause it to begin to grow, to regenerate, to reinvigorate itself. So, you know, even, and I'm not sure back then that they cut grass like we cut grass. Probably what they considered cutting grass was probably where they went out and cut down a field that was ready for harvest with a sickle or something. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then when they cut it down, and then the rain came after that, it was going to grow again, you know, whatever was in the ground, you know, the seeds that had fallen in the ground or whatever. So,
I don't know. One of those verses in John that talks about pruning, there's who abide in the young.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a pruning because, yeah. You know, when you whack off anything, you're causing damage to it to a degree in the natural, but you're really, what you're doing is bringing forth new light, like life, like circumcision.
You're invigorating the roots is what mm-hmm. actually ends up happening, because all of the life forces that was in the roots was traveling all the way up to the top of whatever that thing was. I had some trees in my yard, and I since have taken them down, but I used to cut off the bottom limbs so that I could drive around in the mower and get underneath the trees without ducking and all that kind of stuff. Well, the more limbs I cut off at the bottom, the taller the top of the tree got. Yeah, if you cut off the bottom limbs on the tree, it'll grow taller. It'll keep growing taller and taller and taller, because what happens,
nourishment
goes up, see? And it's the same principle that when you cut something down, Margaret, we had some hedges in the house we lived in one time, and we were renting the house at that time. We ended up buying it later on, but we were renting the house at that time, and we used to have to cut all these hedges. We had them down the whole side yard, and then we had them in the front that went up the steps, you know, by the rail and all this and that. Well, Margaret got out there one time, and she chopped them down about that tall. Oh, you never heard some of the people on the street come over. Oh, man, you've run. Those hedges grew back prettier and more vibrant than they ever had been before, because all of the source was down at the bottom again. See, there's a principle, you know.
I couldn't take a regular job when I was in high school, so I'd cut grass. And this old guy from Terrace Park, I would cut his grass from time to time, and he was very knowledgeable in horticulture, is that what you would call it? And one thing he taught me that has a spiritual principle, the branches going down clip off, the branches going up leave on.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, so.
Rose bushes and everything, if you have a rose bush that doesn't have any buds on it, you cut those off, because those are considered to be suckers. They'll suck all the life and the forces out of, and your roses won't be as pretty. If you cut them off, your roses will be much more beautiful, because all of the life forces will go up to the flower then, you know.
And all the suckers are the most beautiful ones on there. They're big and fat, thick, and the leaves are gorgeous, but there's no
flower. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They'll grow stronger than.
It's the last that's thing why you want to cut off. Yeah. The scrawny old other leaves. You know, the stems don't look nearly as good.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's also three words that kind of jumped out at me: rain, showers, and water. You know, they all contain H2O, right? Mm-hmm. And they're all different, but they're all similar. You know, the word rain is, when you look it up in Strong, it says water the land. Mm-hmm. And it even says in there, it's really interesting, different from shower. I mean, it even says that in there. And it's like a rain and a shower, you think, are synonymous. Showers, said in Strong's, heavy showers as bringing fertility. But the thing I really liked about this word showers is prophetic influence. And the root word of that is to be or become many, multiplied. So when, what's it say up here? It says the showers that water the earth, that's bringing a multiplication, that's bringing, you know, plenty, that's bringing more and more and more. And, you know, needless to say, I kind of look at that as souls.
In Deuteronomy, I think this goes along with what you were saying. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew. And the small rain upon the tender earth and showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God.
That's good. That's very good. Yeah, that's that prophetic. Mm-hmm. Of prophetic influence, that's the word showers. Okay, and then just water means drip. To cause a drip. But that word is H2222 in the Strong's. And it's this stuff intrigues me. It may not you, but it's the only place that word appears in the Bible. One verse. It's the only place that word appears in the Bible. That word rain. Now there's other words that represent rain, but there's only one word that is in that verse. It's verse 6 that is only in there once, and that's it. Okay, anything else out of verse 6? Okay, this is verse 7, in his days may the righteous flourish. And I like how it talks about the rain and all that, and multiplying and all that in the 6th verse. Now in the 7th verse it's saying, in his days may the righteous flourish and peace abound until the moon is no more. But so, you know, the Lord all week has been dealing with me about this sun and moon thing. It's all through the Bible. And I just, you know, started like a dog on a bone. I just, you know, I wanted to dig in there and see. So I'm going to tell you what I got. I want to know what you got. And I'm sure we all put it together. We're going to get some kind of revelation from it. But The moon means moon. I mean, that's just pretty much it. But if you go to the root, which is G138, to take for oneself, to prefer, to choose. How's that moon? What's that got to do with the moon, you know? But that's what it says, to take for oneself. In other words, you know, taking for oneself, to prefer, to choose. And this word 138, and this is the Greek, the 138 is in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. This is Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. Beloved, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath, and it's really strange, but that word moon, that root word moon, G138, is the word God hath, and then from the beginning chosen, and that word appears again. Are you following? I mean, it's confusing, so let me just say it again. God hath, from the beginning, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. God hath is that root word for moon, and chosen is the root word for moon.
Is that in the New Testament part?
This is New Testament, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. This is the Greek. I took the Greek word moon because we're going to break down the Hebrew, but I thought the Greek, let's see what the Greek has to say. Right. And so I just thought it was strange that God hath is the same as chosen. Okay, I don't have any answer for that, but that's just the way it is.
The moon is a type of shadow of the church.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is, because we're going to get to that here in a second that's really, really clear, but it's, okay, the primary root, if you go even further into that word moon in the Greek, it's G142, and it means to raise up, elevate, or lift up. And this is where it gets really interesting, because in Matthew 16:24, it says, then Jesus said unto his disciples, so this is Jesus speaking, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's that word, that primary root, G142, to raise up, elevate, lift up. So, you know, we've all seen that verse. There's not a person here that hasn't quoted it, hasn't seen it, hasn't heard it preached, whatever. But my thick brain was saying, wait a minute. Jesus said this, and he hadn't been crucified yet. True?
Mm-hmm. If you look at even at the natural creation in the cosmos, the draw of the moon is to pull up with the ebb tide and full tide, and you know, so many things are dependent upon the attraction of the moon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So I just thought that was interesting that, you know, first of all, you know, Jesus is telling us to take up our cross. Mm-hmm. Did you think he knew by then that he was going to be taking up his cross, mm-hmm. literally? I think so. Mm-hmm. But what, if you go on, it says the root of that word deny, I had to look into the word deny, and I know I'm going on a rabbit trail, but it will come to something here, I promise. Deny, to forget oneself. You know, we sing that song, forget about ourselves and worship him. Focus on him, concentrate on him, right. So that word deny yourself is to forget oneself, lose sight, lose complete sight of oneself and one's own interests. I mean, that's everything, isn't it? If you're losing sight of yourself and your interests, what's left? That's everything. You give it all. You surrender all. It says in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't do the root. Root of deny is of any kind of separation of one thing from another by which the union or fellowship of the two is destroyed. So guess what? the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, he separates us from our sin. So that's what that word means when you talk about, you know, that word deny. And of course, the word cross is an upright stake, especially a pointed one, used in as such in a fence. The root is to cause, to make stand, to place, to put, to set, to make firm, to fix and establish, to uphold, to sustain the authority. Isn't this what Jesus was doing on the cross? I mean, wasn't he doing everything in this whole thing? To continue safe and sound, stand unharmed, to stand ready or prepared, to be of steadfast mind, of quality, one who does not hesitate, does not waver, one who vanquishes his enemies and holds the ground. Isn't that what he did on the cross? He did every one of those things, and it's all for your benefit. You get all the benefits of that. So, guys, let me just take this little spin here, and we're going to talk about 1 Corinthians 15:41. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star difference is differeth from another. And then where I'm going with this thing is this, Revelation 12:1. This is where I'm going. And this is where I think we are right now. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. So why do you think the moon was under her feet? I think that's very significant. Why do you think the moon was under her feet? The moon is reflected light. The moon can never, ever, ever dispel darkness. Now, if the moon's big and full, you can see it through your windows, so, I mean, you can see it, but never dispel. Huh? That's the original source, right? Without the sun, there's no light in the moon, right? And so, you know, we as a church or whatever, you know, there's a lot of church that's still counting on the reflected light. And that may mean through their pastor or through teacher or through TV evangelist, through whatever. And there's nothing wrong with reflected light. But why take the reflected light when you can have the genuine light of the sun? And that's in the natural. I mean, when you look at the temple, there were three courts. In the outer court was natural light. In the inner court was the lampstand. But guess what was in the Holy of Holies? The Shekinah glory of God, which in Isaiah 60 says, the sun will no longer be your light of day, nor the bright glow of the moon shall give light to you, but the Lord will be an everlasting light for you, and your God will be your glory and splendor. Your sun will no longer set, nor will your moon wane, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning will be over. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, like I said, I had a whole bunch of notes on that, but that's all I can remember. So, the only other thing I did put on here is the root. James 4:10. It's a different word for lift you up, but I just had to throw this in there. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. John 12:32, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. If man can get beyond the flesh and look to Jesus, the truth will come forth. If the veil comes down, they will see Jesus. So it's just a matter of... That's basically what is, she put that moon under her feet because she wanted to go to the source. And she is type and shadow of the church, and she was bearing that man-child, who we all know who that is.
The only thought I had about the moon being under her feet is that when I believe that the church, when the church walks in all that God has called them to be and in the light that God has given them, then every place that their foot steps should reflect the glory of God. And the moon is a reflection. It's not a source, but it's a reflection of the sun. And in our walk with the Lord, our steps should reflect the glory of the sun. Always the glory
That's
of the
really
sun.
Good.
Not our own glory. He said, I'll not give my glory to another. Mm-hmm. We're not another, you know. But yet, we have to be a reflection of what he is and not what we are in our own self. Mm-hmm.
It is his glory,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And even the sun with her feet, you know, her feet being upon the moon, then that's basically talking about a walk. Mm-hmm. It's talking about a walk that reflects the glory of God, you know. And, you know, that was when the man-child was birthed. Mm-hmm. out of that whole situation, as I remember right.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's really good.
What
so.
Verse was that rich? I'm sorry, Revelation 6.
Revelation 12:1. Yeah, that's really good, Oscar, because, you know, what I saw was that desire of her heart to get to the source, to not get to a man to teach her, you know, about the Lord and to have a relationship with, but to actually draw close to that source. That is everything we need in for any situation we ever find ourselves in. The idea of the walk is just, that's beautiful. That's just perfect, because that's exactly, you know. And the other thing he showed me was, if it's under your feet, then it's kind of like a footstool. Okay, whenever you have a footstool, what happens is it raises you up to higher levels, mm-hmm. so that you can achieve more. Reach that top dish on the shelf up there, you know, and so.
See, that same lady wasn't the sun and the moon and the stars above her head,
mm-hmm.
her crown of glory.
Yeah.
Well, that's all of the sources of light, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, which he is the source of light. And the source of light has to come through the head, so to speak, and it has to come through our head to enlighten us to the glory of God, that when we walk, we will reflect his glory, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, so.
Yeah. In Isaiah 60, just reading in the 19th of Frank, it says, the sun shall no more be your light by day, mm-hmm. nor the brightness shall the moon give light to you, but the Lord mm-hmm. shall be to you an everlasting light, and your God, your glory, and your beauty, and your sun shall no more go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended.
What a wonderful verse, huh? Scripture. That's beautiful.
Can I say one other thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's like one time years ago, the Lord dealt with me out of Revelation chapter 21, 22, back in there. And when he was dealing with me about that, he began to deal with me about New Jerusalem, basically coming down, adorned as a bride, coming down, you know, mm-hmm. into the earth, basically. And really, to be honest with you, what Jerusalem is the church. Mm-hmm. It's the bride of Christ.
Right.
And it's not a literal city, you know, which a lot of people try to teach it's a literal city. It's not a literal city.
It's a people,
and it's the bride of Christ. And the thing about it is that if you take the word Jerusalem and you study it out, what it actually means. You know, it means twin, it means dual and all that. But if you go into a study of the root words and everything, you find that it means to point, to pour forth, to teach, you know, to shoot forth, all that kind of stuff, and it's peace. Mm-hmm. So literally, it's a teaching peace ministry that's going to come into the earth when the church really grows up into the fullness of what he really has called her to be. It's going to be the motherhood nature of God in the church, wanting to draw people up to the breast and feed them the real, true, sincere milk of the word, whereby they might grow into the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. And that's why even in Revelations, when John had his revelation of Jesus Christ and he began to describe him, you know, his hair was like white wool, his eyes were like a flame of fire, and he goes on and he describes, and his paps were girded about with gold. And the word for paps there is the word for female breasts. So what was he saying? What was he showing? He was showing that when the body of Christ really grows up, it's going to grow up into having a motherhood nature. It's going to grow up into a place where it's going to want to pull people up to the breast and give them the sincere milk of the word. And they're going to really learn to grow up in him. The church right now is wanting them to escape out of this world. And, you know, when he taught them to pray, he didn't teach them to pray escape from the world. He taught them, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, he's wanting to bring heaven to earth, not take people on earth out to heaven. That's what everybody's trying to teach you.
Right.
You know, he's wanting to bring heaven to earth in this earthen vessel that we are. And when he does that, then his glory is going to be seen. It's going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. But, you know, it's kind of funny, but Daniel had almost the same revelation of God back in Daniel, if you go back in the book of Daniel. And what Daniel saw, though, he didn't see paps girded about with gold. He saw the loins being girded about with gold. Well, the reason that Daniel had a different vision than what John had, Daniel was seeing what the Lord was about to do. He was going to have his loins girded about with gold because he was going to bring forth the divine nature and bring forth many seeds and a many-membered body and a the body of Christ, you know. But when John saw it, he saw it in its completion. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He saw it in the completion of what God wants to do, and that he wants the body of Christ, because in Revelations, in that first chapter, when John began, he heard his voice was as the voice of many waters. Well, Scripture said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But the many waters were all speaking the same. It was Jesus. He said, who is this? And he said, I'm Jesus. You know, I mean, that's basically what he was telling him. And he fell down as one dead because it was so glorious.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I said it was one voice.
One voice.
The voice of many waters.
Many waters, but one saying the same thing. Yeah. One voice, yeah. And see, back in Daniel, when he had that vision, he heard the voice as the voice of a great multitude, see. So, you know, it was the same vision, but it was at a different span in time. That great multitude was going to be, he was going to bring forth the body of Christ. He was going to bring forth many seeds, and it was going to be a multiple thing. And that's even why the high priest in type and shadow in the Old Testament had his pomegranates around the hem of his garment, because the pomegranate spoke of, if you broke it open, it was talking about an abundance of life, abundance, ability to bring forth abundance of new life, you know. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Should you lose them all?
It meant twin, but if you go to the root words, it's two different words. It's Jeru and it's Salem. And it's the Jeru means to teach or to pour forth, to point with the finger, to teach, you know. And it's really talking about the church really coming to a place where they start teaching peace.
It's also Jesus' twin brother.
Jerusalem, you were saying?
Well, that word twin,
yeah.
You said that.
Yeah.
Me, it's a twin, identical twins.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Jesus and the city of Jerusalem was like his twin.
Yeah.
Well, I will liken it to this. And I've said this a lot of times, and I've said it in sermons before. When me and Margaret first started coming to church here, people, because they didn't know Margaret, and I came more than she did, they would call her Sister Oscar sometimes. But when she married me, she took my name. I mean, her real name is Mrs. Oscar Bowling. That's her real name. Because when she married me, that's what she did. She took all of my authority, everything that belongs to me belongs to her. We are co-equal together. She's, you know, and that's why I don't like to see women keep their maiden name, because there's a principle there, guy, and it's a godly principle. And it's okay. I mean, if they want to do that, that's up to them. But I like to see them take their husband's name, because that God's showing something there. He's showing a definite principle. And she became, and I told people, I said, well, you can call me Mr. Margaret Bowling. It's okay. I don't care, because we're one. I don't care. You know? I mean, you know. That's the way I look at it. We became the two, when we joined together, the two became one flesh, see? And that's the same what you're saying there as far as the twin. Yeah, it is his bride, and his bride is him.
That's right.
It's him. Margaret, when she signs a check, it has all the authority of me signing it, you know? And I, like I told the story about her carrying the checkbook, you know, I let her do the checkbook when we first got married, and she got it screwed up a couple of times, you know. And I took it back away from her and, you know, got it straightened up. Well, now she carries the checkbook all the time, because she had that ability to pay the bills and do all this stuff. And now I don't carry the checkbook. She carries it. But see, that's the thing about when Jesus said, the glory I've given you, that you've given me, Father, I've given it to them. The works that I do shall you do, and also in greater works than these. I mean, the things of the natural declare the things of the Spirit.
Amen.
You know, I'm preaching a sermon here.
That's good.
I need to stop.
Your name has the same power on that check.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And actually, when she goes in the bank, they know her better than me, because she usually goes in there. I go in there, where are you? We got to put the money in there.
You know, about God's reflecting glory and all that, a couple weeks ago, the Lord gave me a word. And the first part of the work was I'm looking for people who will listen in this hour, and I'm looking for people who will listen in this hour. And I'm like, that's unusual.
Yes,
and
good.
I looked it up in the dictionary, and it meant a sparkling, lustrous shine and gleam by reflective light. So he says, I'm looking for people who will listen in this hour, and I look for people who will listen, who will reflect my glory in this hour. Not tomorrow.
And you know, in the natural, the greatest thing that anybody can say concerning you, you know, usually is like if you have children or something, the highest compliment they should be able to pay you concerning your children is when they come up to one of your kids and say, you look just like your dad. You act just like your dad. You do just like your dad does. You know what I mean? And in the natural, that's in the spiritual realm, that would be the highest compliment.
Yes.
That we could be, you know, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, you know. That's you can have a greater compliment than that, you know.
40 years ago, that was true. But I think if somebody walked up to Mr. and I said, boy, you look just like your dad.
I
used to have people say that to me, that I look like my dad. And I told them, I said, well, no, we're two different.
Yeah. But boy, there's a lot in that moon thing. Oh man, there's a lot there.
Layer after layer.
There's a huge sermon there. I mean, it's you know. Yeah.
Kathy, you wanna pray?
Father, we thank you for such a glorious salvation. Oh, Lord God, you have made us free, and we live here and submit and walk in. Draw us to the earth, just as the man draws the tides. Just draw us to it. That we may glisten as you reflect upon it. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Pride, we lift it up, I'll draw on the other knee. We lift up that word, draw it all the way. also dragged all men unto me.
You was talking about that tithe thing. We was down in Florida with Clyde and Debbie one time years ago, and there was a complete eclipse of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And we were right on the ocean. We was over on the east coast side of Florida, you know. And there was a complete eclipse of the moon. And we knew that was going to happen. But, you know, because they had been talking about it. And we were out laying around on the deck, you know, and watching it as it happened. And you never seen the ocean go so far out. And I don't know why. But, I mean, it just went way out. You know, the shore got really big. Usually, you know, in the night the tide comes in, it don't go out, but it went way out. And when the eclipse of the moon came, you could just see the glory of the heavens. You could see the Milky Way. You could see all the stuff that you couldn't normally hardly see at all. You know, you could just look it up in the sky. It was when that lady astronaut came down from the space station that time. Mm-hmm. You know, it was that same time because we happened to be down in Florida a lot of years ago. But it was just amazing to just watch what even took place in the earth. But you know, the waters just receded and went way out, you know, way farther than normal. And then once it was over with, it came back in, you know. I don't know what made it do that, but
it's cool.
Oh yeah. It was pretty amazing to see that, you know.
Excuse me.
He's in a...
Hi, Lil.
How you doing? Or you can go back to the petting zoo and find some meat.